Hi, I'm Megan. I'm an addict. I am here to introduce my husband, Chris. You know, Chris is he's probably one of the most grounded people I know. You know, and I'm really grateful for that because, you know, I watch him in his recovery over the years, and you know, he helps keep me grounded. I learn a lot from him in the way he approaches his program. And he's also one of the most selfless people that I have ever met. He is very much the person that will give you, you know, the last dollar in his pocket or, you know, the shirt off of his back. And, you know, we're new to the area. We just recently moved here, but we're so grateful, you know, to be here and to be at this convention. And we're just honored, you know, that the committee decided to include us. So with that, I'm going to introduce Chris here.
My name's Chris. I'm an addict.
Hey, Chris.
Megan, thank you for the kind words, and thank you to the convention committee for asking me to speak today. The topic is making our pain count, right? And for me, a couple of things come to mind when I read that sentence. Kind of the first thing is pain is inevitable, and suffering is optional, right? That's it. It's pretty cliche, but cliches become cliches for a reason, right? Pain is going to happen in life, whether it's as an individual in recovery, whether it's a person outside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It's unfortunate, but that is life, right? There will be pain in life. What we decide to do as a result of those things happening, whether we did something or something happened to us, is how we live, how we grow, how we move into the future and continue to have the lives that we want to have. So the other thing that comes to mind is there's a lot of different types of pain, right? Using some of the stuff in the literature of Narcotics Anonymous, we have spiritual pain, right? We have physical pain. We have mental pain. We have emotional pain. So there's a pretty broad range of options when it comes to pain and how we can experience it. So, a little bit about me, you know, my experience with pain before coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is that, put simply, everything was pain, right? Everything hurt. I didn't have any type of spiritual or religious life at all, so that's painful, right? I had no one to turn to in that realm, right? It was all me all the time. It was my will. I controlled everything. So sometimes we can have pain without realizing it, without realizing that there's a hole inside of us and there was a hole inside of me that I didn't know existed. When we're talking about physical, I think it's pretty universal to varying degrees, but I did a lot of physical damage to myself. I had, just going through my list, right, I have type 1 diabetes, right, and I didn't take care of that, and that can have some pretty severe consequences, and as a result of my using, I had a lot of dental issues, right, so teeth falling out, teeth breaking, abscesses, and I wouldn't take care of any of that because I had a solution, which was to not feel, so I didn't have to deal with those problems. Emotionally, I wasn't connected to anybody, right? I have excuses from early childhood as to why I wasn't okay on the inside and why, you know, I would use other people to fulfill my needs, right? And that was just a result of pain early on that I didn't want to deal with and chose not to deal with. And then mental pain, right? What I'll say is I'm one of the lucky few, right? I don't struggle with severe anxiety. I don't struggle with severe depression. I don't struggle with any of the broad ranges of mental afflictions that affect a lot of us in the program. But I got to see it happen to pretty much everyone around me. So that's my experience, man. Life was pain, right? But it was a hell of my own making. I chose to do the things I did because I wanted to feel the way I wanted to feel, and I didn't want to deal with consequences. I didn't want to deal with people telling me what to do. I didn't want to deal with, you know, having to be an adult. I didn't want to deal with being held responsible to any of the things that a normal productive member or just another human being was responsible to. I wanted to run, right? I didn't like how I felt, so I decided to feel another way through the use of drugs and alcohol. And it worked for a while until it didn't. Right? So at the end of my road, I found Narcotics Anonymous, right? And I found it a couple of times. And the last time that it worked, right, the time that got me to where I'm at today, was a result of pain, and it was a result of having some experience with the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and knowing what it could look like and walking away from it, and the pain that resulted from that, right? Getting to know who I was, getting to know what my morals and standards were, what I could stand for and what I wouldn't allow. So having some experience going through those processes and some step work and walking away and using again and sitting there with myself and realizing that I couldn't do that anymore, that wasn't an option for me anymore, that my bottoms were going to come a lot quicker because that was what I just experienced. So like most addicts, I am a person who likes to experience things rather than learn from others' experience, and that's exactly what happened, right? So this time coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was what we have to be, right? I was honest, I was open-minded, I was willing, and I was given the gift of desperation. So I moved to a different area than I had ever been, and I decided to start a new life, which there was, I guess we'll call it, minor forms of pain with that, with leaving my family and everyone I ever knew. But when I got there, I knew I made the right decision. And as I got there, I started doing some step work again, and I started making connections with the people in Narcotics Anonymous, and I started doing some service work. At the time, I didn't know it, but I was building the foundation that is required for me in Narcotics Anonymous to be able to get through the painful situations, right? Some of us struggle with success. Some of us struggle with failure. For me, I can deal with success. Honestly, it's okay. It's when things get hard is when I used, right? So when things got hard was when I always used. So that strong foundation coming back around was everything when 6 months into getting clean, I got a call from my mother, right? And my father was the individual that was always there for me when I went to treatment, when I got locked up, when I was, you know, stuck homeless again and on the streets and I needed someone to, you know, just pick up the phone or maybe come pick me up and hang out with me and get a meal and I needed to eat. He was the one that was there. And 6 months in, I got the call that he had had another heart attack and that it wasn't looking good. And that I needed to go home. And when I got home, it wasn't getting any better. So I had to be there for my family, and my mother especially, to walk through the very early death of my father, right? The most painful thing that had ever happened to me happened with 6 months clean. And I got to be there and I got to walk through that with grace. I got to be there for my mother. I got to go pick up her anxiety medication at the pharmacy because she couldn't deal. I got to go to the hospital and say goodbye. And I got to do all of those things because of that foundation that I had started this time in Narcotics Anonymous. When I got the phone call where I was, there was people that I was working with that were in the program that were there to support me. I was able to get to some meetings, and there were people that had gone through the things that I was just going through and knew how to honestly not even say anything because there's nothing to say at that point. Just be there physically, right? And just drive me and make sure that I ate and made sure that I got home safe. Those types of things. And I had some step work under my belt that I was able to, luckily, I was very fortunate in this, not even think about using, right? That early on, I had built a life that I didn't want to throw away. I had done what my father had always wanted for me, and had the thought occurred, it would have been a disrespect to what he always wanted for me, right? And getting and staying clean isn't for anyone but myself, right? It's important that I always stay focused on that. But the fact that it can affect the people in my life in such a positive way is kind of the cherry on top. And again, you know, disrespecting that because, like, I didn't know to deal with some of the feelings I was having was no longer an option. And I would have never been able to do that without Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, I was able to come back and continue on my road of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous and stay clean and slowly process those emotions and deal with the extreme ones when they happened in a healthy way that wasn't, you know, getting high. There might have been some acting out, right? There might have been some doing some things that I should have done, like messing around with girls or spending money I shouldn't have spent. And none of these things are healthy. But I learned at Narcotics Anonymous that as long as I don't use no matter what, it'll get better, right? And it did. It got better. I would really love to say that that was the last big pain that I had in my recovery story. But that's life, man. Life shows up. Life happens. It gets hard. Then it gets easier. Then it gets hard again. And just because we're in Narcotics Anonymous and we're no longer using doesn't excuse us from that happening. So a couple months later, a year later, I did the right thing and I chose to enter a relationship in early recovery with someone who was also in early recovery. And that was great for a little while. And I was happy. And then it wasn't great for a little while. And she broke it off, and I was brokenhearted, and I went through that process, and the crazy thing was is it felt exactly like drugs. I felt like I was withdrawing. I felt like I couldn't do anything but think about this individual nonstop from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything but figure out, like, why this was happening, you know, why she did this to me, what could I have done different, how is this, you know, how is this something that I can fix? How can I manage this? How can I control this? How can I get back to how I felt before, right? And what I did to deal with this was I went to meetings. I went to 2 meetings a day for probably a month and a half, 2 months, right? I just dove into the program. I just didn't know what to do, so I woke up. I went to work. I obsessed over this individual. I left work. I got together with another addict in recovery. I went to meetings. I ignored my step work, unfortunately, which probably in retrospect would have been a little bit better of a solution. But I couldn't think straight. So just having my body go through the motions of what others told me to do was what I did. And after, like, you know, a month and a half, 2 months of just going to meetings, sharing about it nonstop, probably being the most annoying person in the room for those 2 months straight that I just wouldn't shut the hook up about, you know, this poor me, you know, year in recovery, year and a half in recovery, my little, like, newcomer girlfriend, she broke my heart. Like, it just clicked one day, right? And I got to spare the other addicts in the room of my chaos, right? Moments of clarity can come in differing forms, right? Sometimes they can be progressive. Sometimes we can put in all the work about a specific situation and leave it in God's hands, and we never have a moment of clarity. We just learn to accept it. For me, this moment of clarity just came like one of those movie scenarios where the clouds open up, the sun shines through, and then I just knew. And I was fortunate. That's exactly what happened. One day I woke up and I was just fucking over it, right? I knew that I was building a life. I knew that I was in every other aspect of my life, that I was getting better and I was becoming the person I wanted to become, and that I no longer wanted to allow another individual to have such control over my thoughts, emotions, and feelings, right? And it just... I was lifted of that burden. I don't like to talk about it a lot, but when I first got clean, I've been one of the lucky few that the obsession was lifted. And years and years and years later, it has not come back. I have not thought about using. It has not become an option to me. And like, I have not had an obsessive thought about a drug or an alcohol in a significant amount of time. And that's what this felt like as well, right? This was the second round of that I was just done, right? I reached that point that I was done. The obsession was lifted. I had had enough misery, so it was time to move on. So dove back into Narcotics Anonymous again in a different way. You know, I started doing my step work. I started talking to my sponsor a little bit more. I started getting involved in service work in a serious way. So it was my pain gave me a reason to to dive into the program of Narcotics Anonymous even more, and to give back more, and to get to know some other people, and to do what we need to do to stay clean, because without service work for me, especially at that time, I wouldn't have had the distractions that I needed to stay out of trouble, not to say I completely stayed out of trouble, but I probably got in a lot less trouble because, you know, I did area level service, I did home group level service, you know, I did some H&I level service, and I just filled my time with that, right? So that period of my life was like some of the most rewarding work that I've done. In early recovery, being able to do all those things and being able to give back and being able to like build it and grow that life really for me was everything. And that my first three steps that I worked at that time, that's still today like the foundation of my recovery, is that as long as I do some service work, as long as I do a little bit of step work, as long as I talk to my sponsor occasionally, as long as I get to meetings and I connect with addicts and I make my life rooted in Narcotics Anonymous, I can make it through everything. And like that was the true strong foundation of my recovery. And like things got better. Like I said, you know, things get worse, things get better. I moved through that and I was able to start building things, right? I was able to continue my step work and I was able to start a career and I was able to start supporting myself in full. And you know, in my life outside of Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to start attaining that social acceptability and that success, that material success that we talked about. And the whole reason for that was because I was looking inside and I was doing the work and I was experiencing bad things and I was handling them in a proper fashion. And if I wasn't, I had people around me telling me that I was doing the wrong thing, right? Because accountability is another big part of this, because I can act out in all kinds of different way, and pain's the thing that makes me act out, right? But as long as I have a strong foundation, some strong people in recovery, I'll always get kind of bumped back into the right direction. So those are the big ones early on, man. Losing a parent, losing a relationship, right? This is stuff that takes a lot of people out. And I was fortunate enough to have that foundation in Narcotics Anonymous to stick it through. And there's, you know, a ton of small examples of various forms of pain that happened over my experience in recovery. A lot of it, honestly, a lot of it's just bullshit, right? Daily things happen, weekly things happen that I make a mountain out of a molehill. And I'm sure if I sat here for 3 hours, I could go through all the slights and all the hiccups and all the bumps that happened in my life and how I dealt with them or how I didn't deal with them and give you a laundry list of, you know, why I made it here. But I think in my experience, we are all alike in kind, right? These things happen. Life shows up. We just need to learn how to deal with it as a recovering addict in a way that is maybe not productive today, but a little bit better as time goes by. Just slowly and surely doing the right thing for the right reasons, my thought process changes, and I think about solutions in a new way. Because that's a big thing for me, right? I'm a solution-based individual. When a problem occurs that is going to cause pain, or even if it's a different individual's problem, I look at it and I say, what can we do to get to the other side? What actionable steps can we put into place to solve this problem, even if it's not today or tomorrow, but we need to move in the right direction? And that's an approach I've taken to pain. So as a result of that shitty relationship, the pain from that shitty relationship, I knew how to get into some more shitty relationships first, but eventually figure out how to get into a proper relationship, how to communicate properly, how to make sacrifices, how to do something for another individual out of the goodness of my heart in a romantic way, because I was always good at that when it came to, I'll just put it this way, other dudes, right? I could give you the shirt off my back, but I definitely came from an unhealthy mindset of how I viewed women, right? That I had an end goal in mind, and whatever it took to get there, I could be patient, but that's what I was working towards. And I had to, like, give that up, right? I had to realize that I was putting other people in pain with those behaviors. And I had to realize that that wasn't okay, right? That I'm dealing with other human beings that have emotions, that have feelings, that can be affected by the actions that I take, right? And I had to give that illusion up that it's your responsibility for your feelings, right? I had to give it up that, you know, my intentions are good. How you respond to them, that's your fucking, you know, that's on you. I had to give that shit up, man, because it's not the truth, right? I can communicate all day long, but that doesn't mean that the things I'm saying are not affecting someone in another way. And the things that I'm doing are not affecting someone in another way. So that was a big one for me, right? Realizing the pain that I was bringing other individuals and how I could truly affect other individuals in that way, and having to actively choose to not do those things anymore, because again, it's just like any other addiction, right? I was doing what I wanted to do because I wanted to feel how I wanted to feel, so how that affects other people, I don't really give a shit, right? So as a result, you know, I'm happily married for a couple of years now, right? And not to say that's all rainbows and sunshine, but, like, I'm in that period of my life that when it comes to the struggles I've had at work, when it comes to the struggles I've had with other individuals in my life, like, this is my rock and my foundation. This is what I come home to, right? This is the sacrifices that I've made were worth it every step of the way. And as I've built that life, right, some more pain has come. A large amount of this is, like, external. It's outside my control, but let me do a little time check here. Batman. So where we're at today, right, little bit more of my experience. In Narcotics Anonymous, I've built a life beyond my wildest dreams. So I'm talking externally, the house, the car, the pets, you know, a retirement account, all of these things. And these are things I want for sure. These are external things. But I've also been able to find standards and stick to them, communicate effectively with the people around me. And if I don't communicate effectively, pause and dive into, like, feelings. I know who I am. I know what I stand for. And I know what's important to me. So these are, like, the core of what I gained, right? A large part of the loss in the last couple of years are not internal losses, they are external things. And it's important that we don't focus so much on materialistic and external things, but the topic is our pain and, well, making our pain count. And, like, some of the pain is that a couple of years ago, I was getting, like, the final stuff done on my dental work and making my amends to myself with that. And I got a call from my wife that there was water in the house. And it took 3 hours to get through the city that we lived in to get back to my house. And when I got there was 2 feet of water in our house. And by the time we decided to evacuate, there was 3.5 feet of water in our house. So everything that separately and together we had built over years and years and years was just floating throughout our house, right? And, like, that's fucking traumatic. It's very hard to deal with. And it was very hard for me to deal with because my experience with trauma, like, I'll be honest, it's not that bad. Like, I don't have these extreme things that happened in my life that have, like, you know, been stuffed down and that I've had to, like, deal with through, like, therapy and step work in a significant way, right? We all got shit and I've dealt with some shit, but, like, that was something that was different for me. But making it count, right? Me and my wife had to really work on our relationship, right? It's something that brought us together. Unfortunately, you know, I hate it saying like this, but, like, it trauma bonded us in that situation, you know? And it kind of brought us closer because, like, who fucking goes through that, right? Whose house floods, they lose everything. We had to evacuate our house. We got six animals, so 2 dogs, 4 cats, had to put them on, like, plastic containers, float them out of the house, take them a mile down the road, and, like, I'm grateful, right? I'm grateful because we are responsible adults and we had insurance, right? And that's what Narcotics Anonymous taught me. I am grateful because everyone lived, right? None of our animals died, none of us died, no one in the neighborhood died, right? I wish that I had enough wherewithal to help other individuals in that situation, but I've also learned in Narcotics Anonymous that like I can't help another individual unless I help myself, and all I could help on that day was helping myself. I learned how to rebuild a house, right? Maybe not with my own hands, but I learned a new appreciation for contractors and all the shit that they have to do and all the bullshit that it comes along with it. And we got a new house out of it, right? Essentially. We got to pick all the different things. We got to redo the bathrooms and the kitchen and all that stuff. And like, again, those are material things, but the pain of that situation allowed myself and my wife to grow in a way that we would have never done if we hadn't been given that opportunity, honestly. That was a big one, and like the last big one I'm going to talk on just ever so briefly is the most recent pain that I'm going through, right? So me and my wife relocated into a new area. There was a lot of pain associated with the job that I was in previously. Most of it brought on by myself, by compromising my morals and what I was willing to stand for and what I was willing to do for the sake of money. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous that I was able to reach a point and say no more. Still working through that one. More will be revealed. But recently, there's been, me and my wife have struggled with trying to start a family. And there's been like some serious hurdles with this. And we've had some loss, right? We've tried a couple different times and it hasn't worked out, right? And it's a new kind of pain for me. And I'll be honest with you, like I don't know how to deal with it. All I know is like to be there for my wife in that situation. All I know is like show up, do what I can with what I have. That's the solution for today. And my hope is that as long as I stay clean, as long as I keep moving forward, as long as I stay in Narcotics Anonymous, more will be revealed. So with that, again, thank you to the convention committee for asking me to speak today. Hopefully you guys got something out of what I shared. My name is Chris. Thank you for letting me share. I'm Chris, I'm an addict.
Hey, Chris.
Great job, Chris. That's good. I come up to Mike before the meeting and I ask him who he wanted to introduce him, and he looked at me and goes, well, fuck, I guess you. So here I am. I heard Mike speak last year at Out of the Darkness, and it was real. He carried a strong Narcotics Anonymous message. We liked it so much, our home group asked him to speak for a New Year's Eve bash a while back. So I love hearing him share. Like I said, he's real, carries a strong message, and come on up, Mike.
All right.
Hey, I'm Mike, I'm Natty. God damn, there's a lot of y'all motherfuckers in here. Oh. This topic was real cool whenever it was my wife's. And I laughed about it. Is she in here? Does anybody know? Okay, because she's supposed to be resting. I can tell you, I had pain. I was molested as a child. Took me 20-some years to admit it to another man. We're still working through that 30-some years fucking later. Okay? There's going to be fucking pain. And it's not like we just work a couple steps and we get the fuck over it. Okay? The topic is making our pain, what was it, important?
Count.
How the fuck do I make my pain count? I share about it. I don't go into a meeting and be like, man, I got this situation. Nobody knows what the fuck your situation is. My situation right now is my wife has cancer. She just went through a double mastectomy 2 fucking weeks ago. She's laying in the room with an infection because she refuses to leave the fucking convention because she believes this is where the fuck she's supposed to be. What do I do? Do I go to a fucking meeting and be like, man, I'm going through this situation? Do I share about the actual fucking pain? Do I hide like I always had fucking hidden? For 20 fucking years, I didn't want to tell anybody that I was molested. Hell, you know, if you get molested, man, obviously you're going to be a punk or something. If you're offended, you're just fucking offended. Making our pain count. Because we don't do this alone. I don't know how to be a husband. Hell, this is my third wife. I'm not great at it. I would not still be clean today if it was not for people whose wife has gone through breast cancer and shared their experience, strength, and hope. I don't know what the fuck I'm feeling. My best thought had me sitting in a meeting talking about, man, look, I'm thinking about getting a fucking girlfriend. And then rushing home to tell her, because I understand the 12th tradition, that shit will beat me home. The 12th tradition protects us inside from the outside people. Because we are each other's eyes and ears. I would damn sure hope somebody would tell my wife that I was going to fuck around on her. Okay? There's going to be pain. More pain than someone stealing your fucking food out of the refrigerator at the halfway house. More pain than that chick didn't act right. The chick's never going to act right. The guy is not going to act right. I didn't know what to do. You know? I'm not a caretaking person. You know, I've had wives who had hysterectomy and the same night I went and seen my girlfriend. I'm just not emotionally available to have to give more of myself than I think that I can fucking give. And I have people in my life who have been through it, and whenever I want to run, they say, sit the fuck down. If I don't know what to do, I don't do any fucking thing. But I share it. Whenever I'm scared, I just fucking share it. Because I'm a runner. I'm a 210-pound fucking track star. Last year I was sharing about wrestling bears and shit. I ain't wrestling no fucking bears. I'm still that same 4-year-old fucking kid sitting in the fucking corner wondering if I'm going to get my ass beat again. I mean, do y'all not know who the fuck I am? Because if you do, please tell me, because I don't fucking know. I don't know why the fuck I got this microphone. Not once have I been alone in this whole fucking process. People that I don't even fucking know have called me like, hey Mike, this is so-and-so. We heard that you're going through this. And they're not asking about her. They're like, how are you dealing with it? And I couldn't even separate my fucking self. I was like, well, you know, she's having a rough fucking day. And then we didn't ask about her. Because I didn't want to let go of the pain. Because at that point, it had come so fucking familiar. You know, I was like hugging it like a fucking teddy bear. You know, because I understand fucking pain. Because as long as I hold on to it, I ain't got to let it go. I enjoy the pain. Because it keeps my self-esteem fucking down. I've got an agreement with my wife. I'll do anything for you, but I will not rub your fucking feet. And come to find out, I won't wipe her ass either. We don't have that relationship. I'll pay you, motherfucker. At some point, everyone in this fucking room is going to go through some shit. And they're going to be too fucking scared to to say anything because we all think that we're fucking different and that we can fucking handle it, and we can't. And it will drive us to going back out. I've relapsed over some fucking newcomers I done picked up before. You know, I got weak ass excuses for fucking using. You know, I can't even remember their fucking names. I thought about it today. I can't even remember my first wife's fucking name. She's in step work as wife one. Oh. I hope that my last one is Jess. I didn't think that there was going to be so much pain in this process. You know, I didn't know that sitting there watching her go through chemo was going to break my fucking heart and feel that I had to be strong for her, just to find out just as soon as we left there and she was comfortable, I could go call the people who had already been through it and they walked me through it. And they didn't have to. Some of the motherfuckers I ain't ever fucking met. I'm not real big on asking for help. But whenever the pain gets great enough, I've got to get up off my ass and do something different. I mean, I swear to God, I want y'all to think I got my shit together. Boy, my life is as fucked up as a soup sandwich. I don't know if I'm coming, if I'm going. There's going to be pain. But on the other side, there's going to be a fucking lot of joy. Because the pain cannot last forever. You know, I've been clean this time for 10 years. And I thought that I'd done been through some shit. I've been through some shit. I blew it way out of fucking proportion like it was some major fucking shit. But come to find out, the longer you stay around and stay clean, you're going to face some more fucking shit. I've had a hell of a last 2 years. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing because I've stayed fucking clean.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah. It comes with the fucking surrender. And so I don't do it gracefully. Because I'll fight like a fucking bear. I didn't come in there knowing what the fuck I'm doing. I talk like I do because, you know, I read 3 words in that basic text and I had all the fucking answers. You know, I could almost quote some shit, but I would, but I can't read that good. You know, if it was not, and the thing is, this fucking program has set me up to actually help another motherfucker. When if they pop up at some given fucking time that their wife or someone has breast cancer, and then it's going to be my turn to like fucking help and walk the next motherfucker through it. Because we're never alone. Never. I can barely go piss by myself around here. But the thing is, I have to be open to the fucking help. Everything is not, you know, just gloom and fucking doom. I've had people come out of the woodwork. People have brought food to the house. And I'm not eating everybody's food. Just because I don't trust that many people. But the amount of generosity and care that has come through. And I'm scared shitless that my wife's going to die. Every fucking day. And I have a lot of pain that maybe I have not done enough. And I will never do enough. As a husband, as a man, as a fucking recovering addict. And it fucking haunts me. And then there's this daily fucking surrender. You know, my wife is fucking great. She's a pain in the ass. You know, this program is available to us all. But part of being in the fucking program is opening our fucking mouth when we're not sure about something and we're scared and we want something different, but we've been doing the same fucking thing the same fucking way for, I don't know how old y'all are, but you know, I'm 25. But really, we don't fucking know. And we come in here and the fucking love is fucking familiar. Unfamiliar. You know? It's like these hugs, you know, some of them I've got, you know, said I'd pay a motherfucker, you know. I was like, shit. But not knowing, experiencing the love, and then motherfuckers coming out of the woodwork to fucking help. That don't have any skin in the game that you know of, but they've already walked the fucking path. So making the pain count tells me that whatever I experience in this pain, I should be willing to share that experience. Because I have not done any of this shit alone. I haven't done shit overthinking, bad decisions I've done on my own. The rest of it, I haven't done on my own. I don't know how to be a husband. I know how to divorce. Yeah. I know how to use drugs. But I don't know how to be fucking human. I know how to avoid shit. Yeah. I couldn't buy just enough fucking flowers to get rid of the cancer. I couldn't buy my way out of this. For some reason, I've been put on this journey. Either to help me learn something, to help me learn how to reach out more, or to show me how to be a fucking human being. Yeah. One of my thoughts, whenever she got cancer, is like, oh, I got to go. I don't want to deal with this. You know? If I don't want to deal with something, I just leave. You know? Take the house, you know, whatever. You know, I am going to take some money, you know. Because I'm going to need another woman to take care of me. But come to find out, I didn't have to do any of that shit. I just had to stay in one fucking place and be who the fuck I am. And find out who the fuck I am. I ain't got no fucking answers. Hell, some days I'm just doing the best I fucking can. And it's crazy because I've always thought that I've had the answers. I mean, most of them were wrong answers, but I had a fucking answer. You know? Do I think I'm doing the best I can with this? Most days, no. You know? Do I think I can do better? Yes. Will I beat myself over what the fuck I am doing? No. Because today, I'm doing my fucking best. Some days I'm doing my best just to hold my shit together. And it's fucking hard. You know, I got this hard-headed person up here in this room that's fighting to come down here. And every time that door opens, I'm just hoping somebody I know in here will take her ass back up there. Not that I got control issues or anything, but I will hide it in behind caring and loving, be like, oh, baby, you really need to lay the fuck down. You know. But if you're going through something and you see, even if you don't like the motherfucker and they're going through it, they can still use your fucking help. There's a lot of people that I do not fucking like, but I had rather see them fucking clean than I had see them out there fucking using. You know, if you're here today, give yourself a break. You're probably doing better than you fucking think you are. You know, if you've made it to Decatur, Alabama, you're doing pretty fucking good. I was excited as fuck to be in Decatur, Alabama. Yeah. Up until a couple days ago, we wasn't coming. And now I'm in Decatur, motherfucking Alabama.
There you are.
Happy as hell. except for the pain that I'm feeling about my wife. I still have fucking gratitude. Because every bit of pain that I've gone through, there's still some fucking gratitude. Because nothing I've gone through have I had to put some dope on. None of I've really had to run away from. I can go home and be like, now check that. I played out this whole scenario. I was going to pick up this chick. She worked at 7-Eleven. And it was a lot of fun. But since then, since I told my wife and other people, I don't go into 7-Eleven. Okay? Because that's the root of my fucking problem, 7-Eleven. But the more that I told people, the less power that it had. You know? If I'd known that worked so well, I wouldn't have 3 fucking clean dates. I could have just let that shit out. Because as soon as I let it out, it loses fucking power. And if I come in here and tell y'all that I'm scared and that I have pain, it loses fucking power. You know, I did a bunch of fucked up shit whenever I was using. No shit! If I didn't, I wouldn't fucking be here. I don't have to fucking qualify, because most motherfuckers don't be like, oh, look, there's an NA convention, I've never used drugs. No. Come the fuck on. I would have other friends. No matter how small your fucking problem is or how small your pain is, share that shit. If people talk about you, people fucking talk about you. Hell, I got up here last year and took my fucking teeth out. I couldn't even raise my arm up. It's like, oh, matter of fact, look at this. This motherfucker work this year. If you have something on you, share that shit. Because while you're helping yourself, you're going to help the next motherfucker too. Or the equivalent of a female motherfucker. Because we're all inclusive. I just figure all are motherfuckers. Don't leave a meeting with the same shit you brought in there. What the fuck you're going through counts. It matters. Another motherfucker's thinking the same fucking thing. The disease tells me, oh, you don't need to share that shit. People are tired of hearing you talk about your wife with cancer. Don't give a fuck. I don't want to get high. Any other time, I couldn't tell people that I wanted to get high. And I ended up getting fucking high. Why the fuck are we here? It's not like we didn't have shit else to do wherever the fuck we came from. If you want something different, you have to do something fucking different. Drugs ain't the only thing I use. Newcomers too. And brought fucking pain. So I got this last one. We're still together, so you know I don't have to fuck with any more newcomers. Or the chick at 7-Eleven. If you're here today, give yourself a fucking break. Don't hold that shit. Just don't hold on to that shit. Just let it the fuck out. Someone in here has experienced it. And if they hadn't experienced it, they will experience some more shit. And we're never fucking alone. How long have I been yelling at y'all? Long enough? Yeah. Because if not, I'm going to start telling more lies. I love you all. Even that one motherfucker I keep seeing around here that I don't like, he ain't in here though. But I would help him if he said he was going to use. I'd almost hug him. But we ain't fucking there yet. Thank you for this opportunity. This was a great topic for Jess, and she weaseled her way out. Breast cancer. And come to find out, this probably was not her fucking topic, like my sponsor told me. He said it was probably my fucking topic the whole fucking time. Oh, man, hello. You know what? The disease ain't the only thing that's cunning and baffling. The God of my understanding has a great fucking sense of humor. Puts me right where the fuck I need to be. Just know you're loved. Oh, I'm starting to sweat. I got one cigarette. What is that? I got to pee? That's my goddamn teeth. Yeah. Ain't no fucking chew.
He's peeing, bro.
He was up here doing some shit with a bottle, and I was like, man, you know. All right, Don. We'll talk later, buddy. You know, look, give yourself a break. You were loved. You're around people who love you. Even the motherfucker that don't like you probably still fucking loves you. Don't be afraid to share your shit. Get some fucking freedom. I try to stay on topic, but this is just where the fuck we're at today. I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, circle up.
You tried.